Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom or Robots, and this is the beginning of Spooptober. This is going to be a very, very fun month, and I'm here, as usual, with my creepy assistant, Neos Pandora. Neos Pandora, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I've got the mood set. I've got the lighting down. I've got some creepy lights going, and in order to kick off this month of discussing some of the spookiest things in Fallout, we have a very special guest. Some of you who are watching during the live show or watching during the YouTube video will recognize our special guest. Somebody who is well known in the Fallout community, a YouTuber, a streamer, a podcaster, somebody who is a master builder in Fallout 76 from the United Wastelanders Network, the Fallout feed, and Dames Who Game, among many other things that have been done, and a musician, and also a wonderful person to talk to. And this is actually the first time I've been able to get her on this show. We have Jessica Starr. Jessica, welcome to the show.
I dare say, Tom, you're giving me the vapors with that intro. Oh, my goodness.
The vapors. Oh, my. Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, hey, Tom. Greets, Lainey. So glad to be here with you guys. This is going to be fantastic. And I am excited to help bring in the spoopy.
The spoopy. I hope I didn't get you all verklumped.
Oh, Only a little, but you know, that can be spooky too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes frights bring us to the verge of tears, and that can happen in Fallout, no doubt.
No doubt. And you know what? That's one of the things that we love about Fallout is the atmosphere. It goes all the way from the goofiest of goofy, wacky wasteland to the creepiest of the most unsettling things. And like a middle schooler preparing for my first speech, I'm going to quote the Merriam-Webster dictionary here, and we're talking about the most unsettling things, specifically to you, Jess. And unsettling, the definition of unsettling here is having the effect of upsetting, disturbing, or, get this, discomposing. Not decomposing. It's close. It's close to decomposing.
Discomposing.
Discomposing.
Yeah, it gets rid of your composure.
Yes.
It sounds like it's something that my English teacher did to most of my essays in 10th grade. She definitely discomposed that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It made them bleed with the red ink all over the place. Absolutely. So I'm very curious because this is the beginning of our Spooptober series of shows. We're going to be talking about unsettling things in Fallout. When it comes to the Fallout games in general, what do you find to be the most unsettling things in the games? Do you want to start with the most unsettling things? Do you have a list? You've been thinking about this for a little while since we've talked about you joining us on the show. How do you want to kick this off?
Well, let's go with what makes the atmosphere scary, because there's a lot to talk about there. So let's just talk about the general atmosphere of Fallout first.
Okay.
And not Fallout first specifically, because that's a little less scary, because there's less griefers in 76 if you got the Fallout first.
That's a different thing altogether, yes.
Totally different. So what makes the atmosphere scary across the Fallout series? Well, one of the first things is the overall aesthetic as you walk around, because when the bombs dropped October 23rd, as all of our listeners know, I'm sure.
A week before Halloween.
Just before Halloween.
I know.
Exactly.
Right.
And so there are decorations, classic Halloween decorations, faded, worn Halloween decorations everywhere. Sometimes streamers, sometimes banners. So that definitely has an effect.
Yes. Yes. And you see that. In fact, they very specifically have locations in Fallout 76 as the most recent Fallout release where that you come across these things. In fact, you even come across Christmas decorations in a few very specific locations. But Halloween is the holiday that was put on hold due to the bombs dropping. And there are still some places that are just kind of set up, and so you end up with these like creepy decor just kind of hanging out there.
It's a great excuse for random skulls, you know, decorative ones to go along with all the bones you find on the ground, which kind of leads me to the next thing that's so scary about Fallout. Mm-hmm. Everything can kill you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, think about it. Think about when living with this in the world of Fallout. Okay. As they say, if the raiders don't get you, the rads will, because you leave your house, you've got creatures, okay, around every corner, something as simple as a roach. If you're unprepared, sleeping, not feeling well, maybe that'll get you. Mm-hmm. Up, creatures keep going. They get worse and worse until you get to, of course, the things we're all scared of, you know, death claws, Mire Lurk Kings.
Right.
Number of things.
You bring up the rad roaches, and this is like the dilemma of everybody's afraid of potentially going in the ocean and getting attacked by a shark. But statistically speaking, there are something like no more than 12 human deaths or injuries by shark per year worldwide or something like that, right? You're way more likely...
More people die from vending machines falling on them.
Right. You're way more likely to get killed by a vending machine or by bees. Bees are actually way more deadly, like orders of magnitude more deadly than sharks, right? So when it comes to something like the wasteland, running into a deathclaw is probably significantly more rare than running across a rad roach. But when you actually think about the size of a rad roach, and this is one of the things I like to do on the show, is put people in the position of actually being in this world. I don't know how big your dogs are. What kind of dogs do you have?
My dogs?
Yes.
Why, I have adorable pugs. Okay. They're not feral pugs or radiated pugs, right? Just straight pugs.
Pugs. Do you think rad roaches are the same size as your pugs?
Oh yeah, and a little bit longer. And my pug is, you know, the size of like a shuttle PC case, okay? He's a chubby pug.
Yeah.
But no, rad roach is bigger.
Yes, okay. So when you see a regular sized rad roach, or not rad roach, when you see a regular sized roach or spider or something in your room, most people are like, ugh, right? You're like, ugh, like that. If you were to see a rat in your room, like a 6 inches long rat, you'd be like, oh my God, there's a rat, right? If you saw a roach the size of a dog in your house, like, what would you do? Like, you would have to get a gun out or a baseball bat and try to club the thing over the head. You know, like, that thing could legitimately do some damage.
Like, and that's the smallest of creatures. You know, this is the go kill 10 slimes, go kill 10 rats in the basement. You know, that is the weakest creature that you wake up in, say, you know, 111, and you're walking through and you got to kill it. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm. These are the things that showed up in Vault 101 when you were learning how to use your little BB gun as a kid, right? And you're like, shoot the rad roaches. Oh, okay. These are the little things that you kill, right? These are the kill the rats quest, like you mentioned. Yeah. So rad roaches. And now I can't imagine a roach that would be big enough that it would be hard to fit on my desk in front of my monitor, or what I would even do if one just showed up in front of me. And those are probably hundreds of times more likely to come across in the wasteland than a deathclaw. But just as likely to say, maybe chew your fingers off.
Yeah. So we are, getting into the lore here, the bestiary of Fallout, as it were. This is the bottom of the totem pole. And so they do keep going up from there, everything being progressively more dangerous. You got to level up a lot. Think about the average settler, okay? Say you Diamond City guards walking around, okay? Or people standing guarding the bridge to Rivet City, okay? They're heavily armed. They have armor, and they can handle most of what comes out the city. But if they were rushed by a pack of feral ghouls, or they were rushed by a group of Mire Lurks coming up from the water, they could be overwhelmed. The average citizen, the only time they really feel safety is inside the confines of a settlement. Yes. So in addition to creatures, I just want to mention, it's not just the creatures, it's also the people. But because of the atmosphere of Fallout, because of the fact everyone is scraping to survive, we know there are lots of raiders, and it becomes a dog-eat-dog world in a lot of ways. Also, the weather, okay? So if the raiders don't get you, the rads will. Now we're talking rads. You can have a nice day on the beach with your toes kind of dipping in the water lazily, and in 2 hours you're going to be feeling nauseous, and in 5 hours you're going to be dead if you fall asleep.
Right, and maybe your toes will start to rot off, or, you know, who knows what other things you might have got from the water. Yeah.
get ghoulified.
Sure.
But it is a dangerous situation. So that's just something to remember. I think people, because we play, you know, the sole survivor or the courier, sometimes we forget how dangerous this world is to everyone in it.
Absolutely.
And that really adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah, somebody posed the question. I don't remember which Discord this was on. Oh, I think this was on the Fallout community team Discord. The whole was this you? Did you post the question? Who posed the question? Somebody posed the question of like, what was the question? It was something like, what would you do if, which Fallout game would you want to be in if you had to play yourself or something like that?
That was a question AOL Password was looking for the upcoming, he's doing Distinguished Guest, where he's talking from some people on the streaming team.
Right. Yes.
And what Fallout game would you put yourself in as the protagonist? Right. And it's like, hell nah.
Yeah, I responded with, oh my God, that is terrifying. No, thank you. It's just like, I don't want to be. No, I would not want to be in the Fallout world as myself. I would die. The other thing is that, like, this is all, we're all talking like physical. This is unsettling things to deal with physically. What about the anxiety of just having to live in that world? You know, like all of these things could kill you. But emotionally, how do you even get up in the morning? How do you, if you have a little farm, how do you leave your door in order to go outdoors in the morning when you know that there could be super mutants on your front lawn? You know, like.
Yeah. And this is a constant abiding fear. Okay. So the reason I'm bringing up all these different things as what makes Fallout scary is to also hint at one of the big questions people often have. Why is the world still in shambles in Fallout? Okay, delving into the lore here. And I don't want to digress too much.
Sure.
But, you know, things like 76, okay, you're closer to, you understand the destruction. A place like the Capital Wasteland, okay, possibly the most devastated in the continental United States because of being the seat of government. Mm-hmm. But even in other places like the Commonwealth, there's a reason why a lot of places haven't been reclaimed, why bones are still out, why people haven't grown and spread. And that's because a lot of people don't survive. Do they survive past childhood? You know, how long?
Yeah, yeah. Loud dogs being loud. Dog's talking.
Apologies for that. He's used to this. But Mama just got home from work and didn't get the usual amount of time before show.
That's totally fine. I like integrating real world information into thinking about things like Fallout lore. So this is something to be really aware of. You go back before modern medicine, you go back 100 years, 150 years, and the percentage of women who did not survive childbirth was extremely high. It was ridiculously high. And women often gave birth multiple times. It was not uncommon for families to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 children.
Infant mortality was a serious thing.
So, yeah, children dying, mothers dying, childbirth, it was the main killer of women and children at all in the entire world up until about 100 years ago. And then all of a sudden we have modern medicine, we have hospitals, and then we have the ability to deal with these things. We have sanitation. All of these things reduced that, and we were able to then make that a much, much safer process. Imagine trying to go back to a time when that was the case and now increase the likelihood of disease, increase radiation, increase the likelihood that a woman would go in labor at a very inopportune time when she's not in a safe place and has no medical attention, has no help, has no doctor nearby, nobody with any medical training at all.
It's dangerous, y'all. Frontier life, but complicated and multiplied by all these other issues. So I just thought that's something I want to bring up because it's not often talked about. And like I said, our main character doesn't deal with it as much, but there's a reason why the majority of people in Fallout only feel safe when they're in the confines of a settlement or a city. Now, does that explain why there are trash piles in the corner of Diamond City? No.
No.
Of course not. You know, sweep your houses, people. We even got a sweep emote in 76 now. So yeah, sweep them floors. You know how.
Right, right.
But outside of the confines of settlements, there's a reason why the population isn't growing very fast, why people aren't expanding and reclaiming the wasteland as much as you might want them to.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Lainey, do you have any thoughts on any of this stuff? I know we've been doing a lot of the talking, so I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to chime in.
Well, sure. I think about the having children in the wasteland thing. You know, obviously, all the complications that can come with childbirth are a terrible threat. But you have to think also, there probably aren't a lot of people having kids on purpose.
Right.
Because if you're in that situation, do you have a conversation that goes like, you know what we should do? Bring another person into this world.
This place seems like a wonderful place for a child. Why don't we bring another human? And right. Yeah. A lot of people are probably purposely trying not to have kids.
Amen. Not to mention infertility.
It's really hard to regrow a population like that.
Right. And infertility from radiation on top of that. I mean, sometimes that's the only comfort on those long, lonely nights and accidents happen. But yeah,
sure.
It's not as deliberate. And there's a lot of people dealing with a lot of things. So, yeah, that is part of the aspect and the overall dread that informs the Fallout universe.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's a mix of things, too. Like the question comes up in chat, you know, like how easy would birth control be in that world? Well, it wouldn't necessarily be easy. You wouldn't have like medicated birth control, but you would have people who would be aware of, you know, being a little bit more careful. But like you said, you probably would have higher levels of infertility as well. So it would probably be a mix of both.
It's kind of thinking about the tenor of the wasteland, like why it is a scary place and a no man's land out there, everyone dealing with it. Now, let's talk Fallout series. Contrast that with the humor, the wackiness, the smiling faces on those 1950s style posters, mm-hmm. you know, selling you your Dandy Boy apples and those fancy lad snack cakes, which have you ever had an apple that's that old? Like,
oh,
Dandy
God.
Boy, do you think they're caramelized? Like, what's the deal with them?
Yeah. Okay. So my theory here is that by the time of the Great War, the post-capitalist world was injecting so much preservatives into those foods that they would have lasted for hundreds of years, that those weren't actually real apples at that point anymore. Anyway, that was just synthetic food that your body could still somehow digest. And
so gritty and gross. So gritty and gross.
Absolutely.
But fancy lads. Those are the Twinkies of the wasteland. And I think they sound fantastic.
Yeah. And yeah, clearly not actually organic food in any way. Yeah.
favorite Fallout food, you guys? Do you have one?
Favorite Fallout food? Lainey, do you have a favorite Fallout food?
I think I have to agree on the snack cakes. Those seem the most... I think they'd hold up the best.
That's
the options.
I mean, everybody wants a perfect slice of pie, you know? Like, those are so hard to get. And yet somehow stay preserved?
Yeah, it's a very, very special recipe.
I guess so.
Now, I mean, you could go full white glove society, and then, you know, then that's the real good eating from what I hear, from what you guys were talking about with Mortimer episode or two ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's real good eating. Yeah, once you've gone long pig, you don't go back.
There's a reason why you might crave that long pig, because it's fresh.
It's so fresh. So fresh. A little spicy, too. Just a little bit. Oh, man. So, actually, I was thinking Instamash. I think Instamash probably is.
Oh, for sure.
Also not real potatoes, but I bet it's the kind of thing where you add just a little bit of that like dirty water in it and just like poof, it's just like potatoes again, you know?
I bet a can of cram would be okay too. You know, it's fully sealed and okay, this is just some wacky speculation. Eating in the wasteland, also scary. Everything can kill you, once again.
Yeah.
Drinking the water and eating that dented canned food.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Lainey, do you have any thoughts on on food, on how scary the food would be?
I mean, I think it's obviously scary. So we're doing a playthrough of Fallout 3 right now, where we're trying to role play it, right? We rolled for the stats and things like that. Sorry, there's a cat walking over my keyboard. We rolled for the stats and we're role playing this character, and we had to decide what kinds of foods that we were comfortable eating, because our character obviously grew up in a vault. And so are we comfortable doing things like eating dog meat, you know, eating ant meat, things like that? Or are we going to just stick to the processed foods and the things and packages that maybe we're more familiar with?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's just an interesting thing, because you aren't just eating these packaged foods. You're also eating whatever you slaughter.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary, too.
Whatever
also,
you can carry.
You know how when you pick it up, right? If you drop it, you just drop the raw meat. Are they cooking the meat in Fallout? Who's cooking the meat?
You mean the fact that the meat you drop is often chunky style? And you're like, wow, I just dropped a full roast. Look at that. You drop a piece of cat meat and it's like nicely fricasseed already. You're like, wow, that's pretty tasty looking cat meat.
in some of them, it's just like a slab of flesh, essentially, is what sometimes it's just raw, right? What who decides? Do you eat it raw? If you're carrying it raw, do you just nom nom right down the hatch, you know?
You can, yeah.
It's pretty gross.
That's pretty gross. Yeah.
Super gross. Definitely find some recipes. Cook your food, people. Cook your food.
Cook your food, people. Well, Jess, I have some other questions for you, but we need to go thank our patrons. So we need to take a quick break, but we will be right back in just a minute. And I want to get to you've talked about some very, very good reasons why The Wasteland is unsettling, but I want to find out, when you first jumped into Fallout, what was the most unsettling thing to you that you came across?
Nice.
And so be thinking about that. We'll be right back.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
Following is a public service announcement from the Starter Set Dungeons & Dragons podcast. This is your D&D campaign. This is the Starter Set podcast.
You know how, like, poison frogs don't lick each other's backs?
So it's Howl's Moving Castle with a face.
Mm. Hey there, I'm Great Mandibles.
Because one of the party speaks Abyssal.
You're all going to die.
And then adventure falls into your lap. Plop.
This is your D&D campaign after listening to the Starter Set podcast. So join Sam and Ed every Friday on the Starter Set podcast for prime Dungeons & Dragons content. Any questions?
All right, this is the part of the show where we get to thank our 45 patrons. Thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are phenomenal. And a big thanks to our top tier Liberty Prime, Pie Man, Mav Eric, Jared B. He goes by many different names. He is a man of many different names and is a wonderful supporter of the show. Thank you so very much for supporting the show, Liberty Pie Man. You are just amazing. Thank you for contributing and supporting the show. And also thank you to Southern Rage and Stagger and Stumble, our tier 5 sentry bots. You guys get call outs every week for supporting the show. And thank you to all of our other patrons. If this has been a helpful show getting you through your workday, your commute to work, your workout, or, you know, working on the railroad, then think about checking out the Patreon, patreon.com/followlorecast, and check out all the different tiers, all the different things you can get, including the big new upgrade for our tier 3 and higher. Tier 3s get stickers and tier 4 and higher get t-shirts, and those are limited edition. They won't be up anywhere else. You can go check out the pictures on the Patreon. Just scroll down to where you can see the pictures, and they're special just for you guys. We didn't change any of the prices, we just added them on, and so go check them out. And thank you again to all of our patrons. You guys are absolutely phenomenal. All right, let's get on with the rest of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, Jess. So when did you first start playing Fallout? How long ago was it?
So this will make some people happy to hear. Uh-huh. I started with Fallout 3 was my first Fallout game, but it was actually New Vegas that got me into it.
Oh, okay. So did you kind of just like, this one's okay, and then you tried out New Vegas and that one like really hooked you?
I was in the middle of like my second or third Oblivion playthrough at that time, and it came out and I thought it was cool, but my husband was playing it as well. And so it became the kind of thing where, you know, you like to watch someone play. And so he was so into Fallout 3. Well, I got my character about halfway through the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how could I not, right? Got to find Liam Neeson. Sure. I watched his playthrough mostly. And, you know, that was fantastic playing along with him, enjoying the music. And
my wife and I do the same thing. We did the same thing back then, too. Like, we had very similar, like, okay, I'll play for a little while. You help me make decisions. Okay, you play for a little while. I'll help make decisions. Kind of hand the controller back and forth a little bit. Yeah.
It's a great way to play. Yeah. I mean, he always said I was the gamer in the house, but when it came to Fallout and a few other games, you know, we would switch off. And so that was awesome. And then New Vegas came out. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of, at that point, we were moving. And so I was kind of by myself back in Maine, where I'm from, and New Vegas had just released, and I needed something to do. And so I got into it, and oh my God, I fell in love. And so it's been a love affair since then, for sure, for sure. And then, of course, I finished New Vegas twice and went back and played Fallout 3 all the way through and did all the, you know, all the things.
Right, right. Okay, so you had played Bethesda games before. You were into Oblivion. You got into Fallout 3,
Started New with Vegas. Morrowind.
Right, yep. Started with Morrowind. Okay, so there's a big difference in the worlds of the Elder Scrolls and the world of Fallout. Especially the fact that Fallout is, you know, retro future, and it's not, you know, Daedra and creepy fantasy things. It's like, it's a, to me, it's a little bit more grounded in this idea of it's still fantasy, but holy crap, we really could have a world where all of the bombs freaking drop and now all of a sudden we're scrounging for resources, right? Like, dystopian future is a very real possibility, right? So
far too real.
Far too real. It's unsettling. I posted earlier on Twitter. I was like, oh crap, I accidentally clicked a political news post and now I hate everybody again. What am I doing? Why do I do this to myself? Okay, so here's my question. When getting into Fallout and first entering into this world, and this is one of the best things about playing a new Bethesda game, especially when you've never entered one of these worlds before, and learning about things and going, okay, this is, I'm in a vault, or watching your husband play, oh, we're in a vault, and now all of a sudden, oh, there's this big open world here, no, this is what's left of the Capital Wasteland, or this is what's left of Las Vegas and the West, and like, oh, what's going on here, and who are these crazy monsters, and what was the thing in that first playthrough, either watching or playing yourself, that really, really got under your skin?
This is going to sound very basic, but for me, the scariest thing in Fallout is the feral ghouls. Uh-huh. And not just because of how they are, you know, rushing at you erratically, unpredictably, coming in mass and killing you. And the idea of, you know, that could be me, you know, there, yeah. For the love of Todd, that could be me. They're just so scary, and you're so alone in the wasteland. I mean, that's part of the entire thing. You know, most of the time you're out there, unless you have a companion, mm-hmm. you are alone. And so you go into a building, and this is where it really hit me. This is what's scary to me more than ghouls themselves. Say you're in a tall tower, like a skyscraper, tenement building, walking into the abandoned tunnels, and all around you, you hear the sounds, the foliage. Yes, over, exactly.
Like you pass by like a little corner or something, and you just hear, and you're like, rustling. Oh. God,
the
okay.
Scraping. Yeah. And when you're in a room with multiple floors, in a building with multiple floors, like say the Hornwright building, okay, going pulling mm-hmm. from 76, the Hornwright building there, mm-hmm. you've got five floors. You can hear the ghouls on every floor.
You hear the thumping around, you hear the boom, 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 boom of their feet, and then they're bumping yeah. into stuff, and then they're like, and then you make noises, and then you hear them go, and they're like,
exactly, yeah. exactly. I mean, Fallout yeah. can be like the quiet place in some ways. You don't want to alert anything around you, and you're walking around on tenterhooks. And so that suspense, that constant feeling of jump scare, is the thing that scares me the most in Fallout. And since it's almost everywhere, I get scared sometimes, y'all.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that I do when I play these games is I often turn down the music so that I can hear the environment better. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do this, or would that just scare you even more?
Yes and no. I actually get scared more when I turn on the, you know, the lovely music that is in the uh-huh. game since Fallout 3,
right.
and I cannot hear the creatures around me. That's right. almost more scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
next thing you know, there's a Yao Guai in your ass. Munch, munch, munch.
Right, right. Yeah, you definitely don't want that munching your ass.
No, not in the slightest.
No.
So music down
ask permission
is good.
First, Yao Guai.
Yeah, thank you. Consent is consent. Very important, even among, you know, wasteland yeah. creatures.
Yes, consent.
But as scary as that is, when you are feeling strong, when you have a good weapon, good armor and stuff like that, that's when you're like, I'm jumping in, I'm turning up the tunes, I'm rocking out, I'm killing super mutants. But that's when you're kind of in control. But for a lot of the game, you're not in control. You're in a space you don't know around you. You may not have the best weapons yet, and you mm-hmm. feel all alone. And yeah, so I'll turn down the music. I'll turn up the footsteps, not high enough that it freaks me out, but mm-hmm. high enough that mm-hmm. I hear them creeping.
I do the same thing because I want to hear them before they get to me. And I'll turn down the ambient music. I'll turn up the environment sounds so I can like creep through a building and I can hear where everything is and I can pinpoint like, okay, there's another guy in that hallway. There's something else over there. Okay. So I'm going to look around the corner over here. Okay. I can see that guy. Take him out. And you're right. Especially when you're like level 10 and you're still sporting a pipe pistol because you haven't found anything else yet, you know, and you're like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to come across and I'm going to be over my head in 2 seconds and I better just like kill things.
I can't play with the music on at night. I really can't. It has to be, the music is for when you're feeling good and you're killing mutants and you're out there like a badass. And the rest of the time, no, if I'm creeping, that music is down. Which, by the way, the Whispering Hills mod, I don't want to digress too much, but have any of you guys checked that out yet?
Oh, is that the, that's the,
The Silent Hills mod.
Yeah, this came out like, what, a year or two ago, didn't it?
Yeah, I think like 2 years ago. They're still working on adding expansions, but I had a chance to check it out. And OMG Muffins, that is so, so freaky. Like, that plays into all the worst things that scare me in Fallout, for sure.
I need to check this out. Maybe I need to load this back up and check it out again, because this was something that was on my radar like a year or two ago when people first started talking about it, and I don't think I took the time to go look it up. So
on Robot's Radar, yeah, it would be a fun
Robot's Radar.
It'd be a fun live stream.
yeah, I've been streaming in the morning, so maybe I need to put this on my like creepy play some creepy games in the mornings kind of thing. Lainey, I know your experience with ghouls is probably very similar. You've talked about this before, but do you want to relay your story about getting used to ghouls and how you acclimated to dealing with ghouls?
Yeah, I suppose.
Sure.
Well, okay. So similarly to what you were saying before about playing Elder Scrolls games and Fallout games, I played Oblivion before anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I got used to fighting things. I got used to exploring, you know, it was a real video game introduction for me. But going into Fallout 3...
And you were how old? Let's talk about this from, like, Jess and I are older than you. So we were adults getting into these games, right? You were older too, right? Yeah, so... But you were a child.
I was a preteen.
Right.
I was a child, yeah.
Right. I was such a great father. Well, I was like, here, play this scary game.
I notoriously would get creeped out by games.
Let's back up a little bit. I used to play Oblivion on my own in the evenings when she went to bed, because I didn't want her to be scared. And one day I was playing, I was at home during the day, because I used to tour in bands and things, and I was home and I was playing during the day, and then she got home from school or something, right? And you came over, and I was about to turn the game off because you got home from school, and you looked at the screen, and I was in like a pause screen, but you saw my Khajiit. You saw my sneaky Khajiit in his like black armor and stuff, and you were like, yeah, and you were like, what are you playing? I was like, you were like 8 years old or something, and I was like, oh, that's just my ninja kitty. And you're like, you have a ninja kitty? And from that moment on, you were just like, this game must be amazing. So that game was now on your radar. Yeah.
I was certain that it must be amazing. It holds a very special, Oblivion is very important to me. It holds a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
But you don't really encounter things like ghouls, really. I guess in Skyrim you get like the Draugr, which are kind of similar.
Right.
But they don't really charge at you. You know, it's
none of that.
They're
more like zombie soldiers that kind of come after you. But the ghouls, they charge at you in a very different kind of way.
The ghouls are scary. They like screech and they run at you. And I had never encountered anything like that before. I've played, you know, a lot of Mario in my life. Maybe a little Animal Crossing, you know?
By that point,
I played a lot of The Sims when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't prepared for ghouls.
Good choice, though. Good choice.
She still plays a lot of Sims. Came. This is still like her main
game. I do still play a lot of Sims. That is the truth.
Yeah.
I make houses nonstop.
That's awesome. Sims Online was my first online game, so I'm with you.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Listen, you two need to get together and build houses in 76. Lainey, You would learn a ton. Like the housing community in 76 is freaking amazing. They do stuff that I can't even dream of. Like I'm no good at it, but like Jess would teach you stuff.
I aspire to be good at it. I'm currently not.
Yes, you should go try that out. Elgato Pup, thank you for the raid.
Elgato Pup raided with 22 viewers.
That's awesome. All right,
thank you.
Go on with your story. Thank you so much for the raid.
Okay, well, you know, you go into the metro and there are ghouls everywhere. You know, ghouls and raiders, but ghouls and people I can handle. Ghouls, I was not prepared. And so I just would not explore the game. I didn't really progress in the main story very far, because you have to start, you know, making your way through DC. And I refused to go through any of the subways, right? Because ghouls. And so I was playing lots of side quests for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So long that I forgot that there was a main quest line, and then realized that in order to do it, I would have to get over my fear of ghouls. But by that point, I had discovered the handy dandy ghoul mask. And so,
were you in high school yet? Or not even yet still?
Ooh, I was in middle school. I was a little kid. and or a big kid. And the ghoul mask really changed it for me, because suddenly they aren't attacking you anymore. And so I could like walk up to them. But even when I first got it, I was still nervous. I was like, if I get too close, will they notice that I'm a human? Will they like sniff me out? You know, I wasn't sure. And so I was still really cautious for a long time before I really settled in. And then eventually, you know, now, I mean, some of you have seen me play 76. You know, ghouls are not a problem anymore.
She says confidently.
You can handle whatever they throw at you. I gotta tell you, ghouls in a nuke and stuff like that, until you're used to them, you know, you get those the charred ferals and the glowing ones, and they can be a little scary. But yeah, so long story short, ghouls are, to me, the scariest thing in the wasteland because of what they represent, because of how they could be around any corner. They could be, I mean, you could be hanging out, walking through, and a cat flap opens and boom, ghoul in your face, you know?
Yeah.
So very unpredictable, and that makes them very frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. So with a natural fear of ghouls, did you find that dealing with ghoul NPCs that were not insane was a little bit difficult at times, or no?
Not scary at all. No. No? With three being the first, I actually, you know, immediately the first ghoul you meet in Fallout 3 is Gob. I don't believe you meet one before Gob.
Unless you skip Megaton, but yeah, that's most likely the first one you'll meet.
Right,
yeah.
You can go any direction from...
Sure, yes.
But, so you meet Gob, and he's actually a bit of a pitiable character at first, because of the Moriarty treats me. You talk to him, you try to buy, and he's like, ah, don't hit me, you know?
Right, yeah, he's like, ah, and you start feeling bad for him, so yes, yeah.
So no, I could quickly see a difference there. And it's really the lack of reason and intelligence that makes ghouls scary.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's one of those things that comes after you meet Gob. I remember having feelings coming across other NPCs of like, are they going to turn on me? Is this quest going to get to a place where, you know, they're going to not be, you know, reasonable anymore? Like, is the game going to do that? Are they going to shack me up with a companion at some point who's like totally fine and seems like your buddy and everything's cool, and then one day they wake up and they're drooling from the mouth and trying to eat your brain, you know? Like,
yeah, Sharon is Karen. I mean, yeah, you get in there, and that is actually a fear that especially the early ghouls had, because the people who are intelligent ghouls who became ghoulified but didn't lose their mind, they're like, is that going to happen to me? At what point will I go feral? And it's a distinct possibility for some. Now, what we find as the game goes on is that a lot of people, if they didn't hit that point en route, they're going to maintain their faculties somewhat with slight degradation. But, you know, who's to say even further down the line? Maybe that's every ghoul's fate.
Right, right. So it was one of those things, especially early on for me in the series, where I always felt a little cautious about that, because they kind of paint it like it's a possibility, you know? They kind of make it seem like, you might want to be careful around these guys anyway, because some people feel that way. So you start to think, okay, well, maybe there's a reason they feel this way. Maybe I should be cautious about this. Maybe there's, you know, it does seem like, you know, they're being treated unfairly, but at the same time, is it justified or not? You know,
it's that gray area.
Right. No, yeah. Most of the time it's just racism. But, you know, but at the time, especially early on when you haven't met, you know, by the time you've played through Fallout 3 and New Vegas and Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, you've met so many ghouls, so many ghoul NPCs, and so many of them never turn feral.
Next thing you know, you're dating them.
Right.
You're all about that Hancock. You know, I mean, that's just how it goes.
Right. Everybody wants to smooch Hancock, even though he doesn't really have lips. And, you know, like, however that works, I don't know. But cool. Good for you.
He's probably got a tongue in there somewhere, I would guess.
I mean, he talks pretty clearly. Like, try talking without you moving your tongue.
We should ask Fire Rider. She would tell us.
She would know. She would know. Yeah. She would get all blushed in the face, but she would know. So, okay. So ghouls got really creepy. They got under your skin, almost literally under your skin. Tear your skin off. So the ghouls are what's terrifying to you. Is the jump scare part of it more terrifying or less terrifying than the existential dilemma of, like...
Much more terrifying.
That's more terrifying than the existential dilemma of them?
Yeah. Existential dilemma is like, okay, that's philosophical. I can handle it with some bourbon and a fire. jump scares? Your girl just does not like that. And make you play Fallout? No. Random things. Khazad doors out of nowhere. Death claws charging you. All of these things we do not like. That actually... you know, I've talked about it once before, so I could probably mention it here. Do you know what my biggest real life phobia is? This is going to sound so wrong given the game I play. Moths.
Yeah?
Moths. So I'm a Mainer, and growing up in the woods of Maine, you try to go out to the bathroom at night. You're out camping, you're out here and there, you try to walk aside, and it's bright lights and moths, like swarms of moths, like locust worse of moths. Like Hitchcock could not make a movie as scary as some outdoor bathrooms in Maine.
Like mosquitoes in Florida, but moths.
Yes.
Right. Got it.
Yes, and much more visible. So, you know, they swarm and they're in your face and they're so erratic. And so that kind of thing, I feel like that is what conditioned me growing up, having those things flying at you, and just you try to walk somewhere and boom, they're in your face. I have hit the deck. I have walked out my door, had moths at the porch light, and actually ducked and dived down to the porch before. It's just a thing. So, you know, yay, go Mothman.
So does the Mothman bother you?
No, not so much.
Not at all.
But it evoked it at first. I mean, it's like possibly Stockholm syndrome or exposure therapy. Mm. At this point, we cool.
Okay.
So, we communed a few times. Sometimes I gave him some juicy bug butts. He's happy. We're okay now.
Bug butts. Sometimes it's the scale of things. You know, something like a little moth can be disturbing, but like a big fuzzy guy, you're like, come on, buddy, just give me a hug. You know, it's just like,
no, cute. Never, no.
No, not like that. No. Okay. The most disturbing thing I find about the Mothman in 76 is the that thing, the like disappear into the sky and then lands back in the middle of nowhere. The whole, like, I mean, they basically teleport, but they're not really, they're like shooting off into the sky and then just like landing somewhere else. And then you're just like, whoa, where'd they go? Like that whole thing. And you're muted. We lost your voice.
And that's not as scary. That's a game mechanic. You
that's
know,
a game mechanic.
How many video games have we all played in our lives? A lot.
But this is the kind of thing.
Enemies always do that.
Right, but this is the kind of thing of like, if you were actually there and that happened. So like the first time I came across one in 76, I'm running through some hills, right? And this was very soon after the game came out. I was leveling my first character. I was maybe 20 levels into the game. Hadn't come across a Mothman yet. Running through some hills in a forest. And all of a sudden behind me, I hear a weird sound. A sound, right? And so you turn around and the first thing you see is those freaking glowing eyes, right?
Yes.
So your creepy meter goes bing.
You're like, those are so awesome, by the way. Like, what a great design.
Yep. So creepy meter, bing, glowing eyes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that a Mothman? Because, of course, we know what a Mothman is by this point because the game's been out for a little while. And then I shoot at it because I'm like, I'm going to get this Mothman. Well, I didn't know it was a wise Mothman because I didn't know the game yet. Well, wise Mothman gets freaking pissed off at me and up into the sky, and then now I'm fighting a wise Mothman that's just like teleporting around. So like putting myself in that situation of like there's this gigantic moth monster with purple glowing eyes that I can't pinpoint or shoot at because it's just like disappearing into the sky and landing behind me, that's very scary. That's very hard to deal with. That's way worse than a Yao Guai.
There are many types of Mothmen out there, and the lurking is the spookiest thing about the Mothman. The stalking Mothman, who will follow you and he won't attack unless you attack him, you know? And then, of course, there's the enraged and all the different styles. One thing I love about the art design in 76 in particular is they took that idea of Mothman and those glowing eyes, and they echo it as a motif throughout the game. So when you see ammo vendors and some other vendors in the wasteland, they've got the two red lights up top, you know, totally innocent red lights. But at night, you think you're being stalked by a Mothman. Mm-hmm. And they echo that in the design all over the game where you almost feel like Mothman's always watching.
Yep. Sometimes there's street lights that are kind of canted to the side a little bit and the lighting's off. And from certain angles, it looks like eyes in the distance. There's specific locations in the game where they very, very specifically set up lights so that it looks like pairs of eyes And when Ken and I got an opportunity to interview some of them, they actually talked about how that was very much intentional. And we were like,
art design.
We were like, you sons of bitches. And they were like, no, that was that we did that on purpose. And we were like, ah, okay. So it's not just us making things up. And they're like, yeah, no, that was on purpose. So yeah, yeah. It's but that's what's so cool about the design of the games is that that kind of stuff is on purpose. So okay, last question about the ghouls. The fell out of my brain. The building in Fallout 3
fell out of theirs too.
Yeah, fell out of theirs too. Their brain fell out of their brain. The building in Fallout 3, where you go down, and you learn about the guy descending into madness and becoming the ghoul. The what was the name of that building?
Oh, are you talking about not Croup Manor? No, because he's just locked himself in the basement. Down. In which game?
The oh my gosh, it's in Fallout 3. The I had it.
You're
in
not
my,
thinking of the Dunwich building, right? Because that's a different.
Is it Dunwich? Is it in Fallout 3?
I mean, that is Dunwich. That is part of the whole Dunwich horror thread that they do throughout Fallout, which I'm sure if you're doing building, spooky all month, you'll Fallout get to some of the 3. Dunwich I stuff. Think, Dunwich borders, Dunwich building.
I think it's the Dunwich building where you find, it's been a while since I played it. You get into the Dunwich building and you find that somebody was descending into the building and they leave. If it's not the Dunwich building, it's another one. They're leaving notes about how they're descending into the building. And in each of the notes, they're talking about how they are basically losing their mind more and more and more as they descend deeper into the building.
Yes, that is Dunwich.
That's Dunwich. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the bottom and you actually come across the person and they are now a feral ghoul at the bottom.
Yes.
How did you feel about that experience?
It was spooky in the extreme. You know, you see that story a bit, you know, people losing their mind in the wasteland. And how can they not? You know, when you're alone, I mean, we just went through a period where a lot of us were self-isolating. I don't know, but my talk to myself quotient is at least 50% higher than it was 2 years ago. You know,
I just constantly talk to myself in my own brain. So I've this is one of those things that I've explained to people before. When especially when like the whole isolation thing was going, people, I don't know. When this came up at some point, somebody was like, oh, how can you stand to spend so much time by yourself? Like, I work at home by myself all the time. And, you know, like, oh, I would hate to be by myself. And I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a really good companion for myself. Like, I'm a really good conversationalist with myself. And they're like, what? And I'm like, what? You mean you're not? Like, maybe I'm super weirdo, but like, I can spend a lot of time. I do spend a lot of time actively thinking about things, keeping myself busy, playing two sides of a debate, or like thinking deeply and then thinking about the other side. Like, I'm constantly doing that in my head. So it's like I'm constantly having conversations with myself, which sounds like I'm now insane. So you're welcome, internet. I'm insane. But like, do you guys do that? Is that normal?
I do that all the time. I thought that was normal. Turns out, so
some people can't hear their own thoughts. Like, I know that's a thing too.
So right. So I have aphantasia, so I don't see pictures in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I think things, and then right people have the opposite version where they cannot hear that voice in their head at all, but they think in pictures fully, right. And like moving images, right. Which is so crazy. I can't even imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like what you're saying. I'm just constantly thinking. I cannot get my brain to shut up.
Yes, creative minds like that. I know how that works. You know, I mean, I can stand in front of a sink to thinking about doing dishes for an hour and, you know, have a full conversation if something else happens. You know, they call it daydreaming, but obviously there's a lot of different reasons for it. And yeah, it's not necessarily that common that everyone has these inner monologues, but a lot of us do.
Yeah, like different some people don't have actual inner monologues. Some people can hear words in their, you know, think through thoughts and hear words in their heads. Bronx in chat writes a deep inner monologue. Like I have a deep inner monologue is what Bronx says about himself.
Very deep, all the way to the bottom floor. I like that comment by Casey too. I've lost armor in the Dunwich pool, but not my mind. Indeed, if you want to swim out, jump out of that armor.
There you go. So yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like I can just constantly be thinking about things and for a long time keep myself active with that. But I don't know. At some point, you need to talk to other people. Absolutely. Well, I hope I never turn into a crazy ghoul. That's then the inner monologue will go away, I would assume. Man, can you imagine coming across a feral ghoul that's just like super chatty and not physically feral, but like mentally feral?
Oh, I mean, yeah, in a way, we meet many characters in that. I mean, one might even say that if Moira turns into a ghoul, she kind of qualifies for that description.
Yeah, like somebody who's just like, yeah, I mean, she can turn into a ghoul. Mara in Fallout 3, right? In Megaton, if you blow up the town, she becomes ghoulified and continues giving you quests. But can you imagine if she went, like, insane mentally and just didn't become feral?
Are you saying she's not?
I mean, maybe she is. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But can you imagine if you lose your sanity, but you don't go feral in a, like, I'm losing my mind and now I'm just animalistic sort of way. Instead, you went, like, hyper irrational and you went, like, super chatty. But then you lost the ability to, like, deal with your animal side. And then you just didn't, like, try to eat anything. And you just withered away. But we don't even know if ghouls need to eat. Like, some ghouls live forever without eating.
After a while, they don't. They seem to absorb radiation and be regenerated by that. Yeah, right. Depending on the type.
So you could come across ghouls that were just, like, super chatty and annoying.
like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. There is a degradation of a similar nature. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Last of the Hobbitsles.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to do Gollum impressions.
Are we going to do a Gollum off?
Such a little sweet. Lainey, can you do a Gollum? She's like, no.
Oh, no, I definitely can't.
No. Well, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a wonderful conversation about the creepiest things to you, Jess. And do you have anything else that registers your creepy meter before we wrap up the episode? Anything else that's up there in the, like, or anything in, like, the just, like, the weird, like, off the deep end, something that somebody wouldn't necessarily think of, but sometimes you're just like, oh, that thing. Oh, that every time that thing shows up, it just hits me the wrong way.
Literally off the deep end, all the ruined buildings falling, crumbling down into the water. I don't know if any of you have a fear of water or worry about that, but when you see these buildings half collapsed and submerged in the water, and you have to dive down in there in the rads and you see, like, the looming dark shapes. There's a lot of that in Fallout, and that is very scary too.
So the submerged broken buildings. Like the thought of being caught underneath rubble, under the water, and suffocating.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Case of not being able to see very far, you know, like when the fog comes in or you're deep in the water.
Right. Right. I can imagine that. Yep. Lainey, how do you feel about that?
I don't like that at all.
I'm a
very skilled swimmer. I was a junior Olympic synchronized swimmer. So I would like to think that I could maneuver my way out of a scenario like that. But my God, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
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 Incredibly terrifying. You know, it's funny. There are all the things that'll actively kill you. Like we talked about, the creatures, you know, the raiders, other people who want that fancy lad snack cake. Delicious. And as we determined earlier, one of the best snacks out there. But that constant looming pressure and the world trying to kill you, that is really, in the end, the spookiest thing in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know how you keep getting up in the morning in a world that's that terrible. You know, like I don't want to get off on another sidetrack, but this is one of the difficulties of these post-apocalyptic worlds where everything's so terrible. You know, reading a book like The Road. Have you ever read The Road?
No, Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah, or seen the movie. Read it. If ever you want to be absolutely depressed, read The Road. Because it just raises this question of, like, it's a man and his son traveling, trying to get to safety in a post-apocalyptic setting. It's very disturbing. They are trying to survive. And it's just this question of, like, would you keep going on when it doesn't seem like there's ever a light at the end of the tunnel? Is there, why continue trying to survive? And human nature, like, by human nature, those people with a healthy mind always find hope. They always find a reason to try to go on, to try to build a better future and all those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, if all reason says that this will always end up bad for you and probably even worse for your child, wouldn't it be best just to put a bullet in each of your heads and just end it? Like, then that becomes the question, right? That becomes the question of, like, in this terrible, terrible world of Fallout, you know, ignoring all the wackiness of it, the terrible, terrible quality of just the unsettling nature of everything, how do you keep getting up in the morning? You know, what is it that drives you to keep going?
like you said, human nature wants to survive, but that exact scenario you're describing, you see throughout The Wasteland with environmental storytelling, and that just adds to the oppressive nature of The Wasteland. Seeing those people who couldn't make it makes you say, wow, if they couldn't, how am I? How can I?
Yeah, yeah. And we got to keep going, friends. We got to make the Western Wasteland a better place. That's why we're fixing Appalachia. We have to end on a positive note.
Also, the fog in Far Harbor, really freaking spooky. Far Harbor, so spooky. Love it.
That is also really spooky, too. Lainey, you something else you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah. I was going to chime in on... Well, I lost it immediately. It was in direct relation to what you just said, but now it's gone.
Oh, no. It was so depressing. It took away your words. Well, if it comes back before we get to the end of the show, then feel free to chime in. Jess, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a wonderful conversation. Every time we've been able to guest on other shows together, we always have such a good time talking. So it was very nice to be able to get you on my show. I've been meaning to do this for a long time, and this has been a wonderful opportunity to do so. And we'll have to have you come back again in the future. So thanks for joining us. Do you have anything going on any of your other numerous projects you'd like to share before you go?
Sure. Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I know the first project we did together was on episode 6 of the Fallout Hub. I came on with Shalene, and we were on a bit to talk about women in Fallout.
Yeah.
And that was fun. Thank you so much for having us then. And then a couple things since then. But it's been an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you. As far as stuff I have coming up, well, let's see. So shall I shout out my things?
Oh, yeah. Go for it. Share okay. Whatever you got going on, because I'm sure people want to find out about them. So,
well,
yeah.
I primarily stream on United Wastelanders Network. That's my channel with a few friends where we do a number of different shows around the Wasteland. The Wasteland's premier entertainment network. Our flagship show is Everything Camp that I do on Thursdays, where we tour camps around the Wasteland. It's a mix of showcasing them, looking at how they put together, talking about the inspiration for them, and a bit of education, too. It's important to talk about techniques, how things are done, to inspire other Wasteland builders out there. And then we have a number of other shows like The Daily Grind. It's basically about grinding the scoreboard and leveling
up. It's not like the 90s dance show from the MTV?
No. Although, you know, if you want to do that kind of grind, you can.
Okay, cool.
Appalachia Tonight, which is a stream talk show I do that you were actually on as The Mechanist.
As The Mechanist, yes. Back in...
Dun, dun, dun.
Back in, what, February? Which is long enough ago now that some people in our community don't even know that I did that. Which, that's how fast the internet moves. People are like, wait, what? That's a thing? And I was like, oh, man.
It is so fast. But coming up on United Wastelanders Network, that's at UWastelanders on Twitter or United Wastelanders Network on Twitch, we are going to do a couple of spooky specials coming up. So we are off this week. But on Everything Camp, we are doing one night where we are doing a Halloween tour. So we are going through a haunted house created by some people in the community, members of the Gorgetown group and Somo group. They both are intentional communities where they with together with other builders, they build up a town. They are putting together a haunted house tour, multiple camps leading you through like a spooky hayride kind of deal.
Yeah, these are always so cool. People are so creative with these. Yeah, these are great.
Either the second to last Wednesday or Thursday of the month, have to confirm that date. And then also we're doing Everything Spooky, which will be an all Halloween camp, which will be the Thursday before Halloween. So watch for that. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at sleepis4t. That's at sleepis for the letter T. Listen to my shows. You mentioned the Fallout feed. That's my Fallout podcast. We're at episode what? Like 335?
Holy
this week?
Moly. That's great.
We've been going for a while. And that show is, it's a community Fallout show. So while if the show is 3 hours long, which it can be sometimes, sorry, I'm so long-winded, you can expect at least an hour or two of Fallout and then, you know, an hour of digression.
Sure.
But we have a good time. And our premier thing there is we do a round table where we each go through quests together with people in the community. And we talk about how we approach them with different characters, different styles. And then we see how people in the community did. So that's a great time. And then Dames Who Game, which I do with several of my dames, including the aforementioned Shalene. And that is an all-girls gaming podcast. And we just talk about what we've been playing, what we're doing, and how much we love games. So those are my big things. And I super appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Awesome. So many cool things to plug into. You guys should go definitely go check that stuff out. And thank you again for being on.
It was nice of you to mention the YouTube, too. You know, I don't think of myself as a YouTuber as much. I mean, I've got, you know, 20, 30 videos, but it gets so busy with other things. I've been neglecting it a little.
Yeah. Well, we're in that same kind of camp. You know, like you and I both, we do lots of different projects. We do a little bit here, a little bit there. We stream a little bit. We do some, you know, podcasting. We do some YouTube videos. And I know how that goes. You know, a lot of the content that you and I both do work better in podcast form or in stream form, but doesn't always work well for the way the YouTube algorithm wants to handle the content, right?
So exactly.
It's kind of like the third wheel that you just kind of like sometimes do stuff for, but you don't really worry about it as much. Yeah, I totally get it.
Fox said in chat right now, she's one of my dames. That's Sherry from Dames Who Game. And she's mentioning I was super entertained by The Mechanist.
Aw, well, great. Awesome. Yeah, every so often I get this like musical kick. I guess I used to tour in a band and I used to do more music stuff. And every so often I'm just like, I should do more music things. And then I... You know, so that was a fun thing to be able to do that. I didn't know I could even do any sort of rap stuff. And so I was just like, let's see if I can. If I do a bad job, that'll be funny, too. So why not?
I mean, you know, to allow a slightly less biased third party. Lainey, how did you feel about Tom's rapping?
Oh, I mean, you know, I've known this guy a long time.
Did he rap around the house occasionally, or, you know?
I wouldn't say rap around the house particularly, but he's quite the jokester. He's, you know, I get a good chuckle from him every once in a while.
Only imagine. I can only imagine that this guy would be one to pull pranks, yes.
I don't know about pranks,
but definitely he's pretty silly.
But silly jokes, lots of silly jokes.
He's a respectful goof.
Lots of silly goofs.
Yeah. An occasional guffaw.
Lots of dry humor and unexpected moments where I do something and then she goes, what?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So this thing happens where I'm so sorry.
Go for it. Yeah.
He raised me. And so my humor is very similar to his. But because I too have this very dry humor, I also encounter other people not getting my jokes, and so then I don't expect people to do it back to me. So then I go home for the holidays or whatever, and he's like cracking jokes that are really funny, and I just can't even like decipher them because I'm just not in the right headspace anymore.
It takes a day of being home, you know. Yeah. you have to drink the Kool-Aid again, and then you're right back in there.
Yeah. I try to not be too stereotypically dad humor. I try to come at things from the side. In ways that like the kids
in
don't
a way,
expect them.
That's still dad humor. It's because he's like he's post dad humor.
It's
he's
post
like,
dad humor. That's what it is.
He's millennial dad humor. Like whatever's going on here is like
there
the next phase of dad. You're the dad humor
Uncle
that didn't
humor?
Want to be like the old dad humor.
Old dad humor. Oh no, that's.
Can I just say millennial dad humor? That's such a great way to describe it. Millennial dads are fantastic. I mean, all dads are great. Don't get me wrong, but millennial dad humor is a little bit cleverer. You know, I get accused of dad jokes a lot because I love the puns. Uh-huh. But if you can be clever with them, millennial dad, like it.
Yeah, millennial dad. I'm not even that. Technically, I'm not a millennial.
You're tiny too old.
Too old.
Just a little bit.
But
in the same way that I'm technically too young. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. But I'm definitely not huge on the puns. So my father-in-law is very big on the puns. And we'll get together and he'll tell his pun jokes. And I just look at him and go, yep. Yep. Just like, yep, I got you. I got
they
that
love
one.
That. He's trying to get you to yeehaw, and you come back at him with a ha yee.
Yeah, basically. Yep. Lainey likes that one. That's a Lainey joke right there. All right. Lainey, do you have anything you want to share before we go?
Oh, you know, the same old stuff. I'm around. You can contact me in many a place. You know what I did is right now, or is it all the time? You can get Xbox Game Pass for like $1 for your first month or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's usually a deal, and sometimes it's like for the first 3 months. In fact, this summer there was one for three months. I don't know if it's still up.
Yeah, I think mine's for a month. Anyway, I should take advantage of that. So I've been thinking of streaming, and I'm trying to rope friends in, you know, new friends who have not yet seen the stream yet, or the chat, I guess, seen the other side of the stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, go for
it. That's awesome. Game Pass is amazing, and I'd love to watch your stream. What do you stream under Neos Pandora?
Yeah, it's all in here.
Okay.
It's been a minute though. I was streaming a lot towards the end of last year, and then I moved in January. Mm-hmm. And then
schedules change and things. Yeah, yeah. You should do it again. Your streams were great. I'd love to pop in.
I have all my equipment and I have my setup, you know, is here. So
yeah,
you make it work.
Yeah, make it work. I'd love to hang out in your streams and you know, and maybe we could even play some games together again. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe the three of us get together in 76 and Jess could help us build things that don't look like garbage.
You know, I'm happy to help you build. I'm happy to give tips. I'm happy, you know what, we'll build for materials for you guys. Ah. You keep tossing the concrete at me, act like I'm the Brotherhood or something. I'll take it and I'll make you something special.
There you go.
Ooh.
There you go.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, there you go. We don't even have to get conscripted to go kill super mutants. Just throw some concrete at her. Awesome. Well, everybody,
don't throw it at her.
Well, don't throw concrete at anybody. Yeah, that would be very dangerous. Yeah. Unless they are like a super mutant or a ghoul coming to eat your brain or something. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, our live chat, for being here. And I love all the conversation and seeing you guys chime in with your own thoughts and things. We'll be back next week. Our schedule changes a little bit from week to week, but we should be back next week at some point during the week. And thanks for being here, everyone. You know how to get a hold of my stuff. RobotsRadio.net for all the different shows on the network. I'll be streaming again tomorrow morning. I'm streaming every morning from about 8:30 Eastern on to the middle of the day. So I'd love for you to come by. Sometimes I'm editing podcasts and I'm happy to answer questions about podcasting and content editing and video editing and audio stuff and any of that kind of things. And sometimes I'll be playing games and just kind of hanging out. So come hang out with me. I'd love to see you guys in the mornings. And other than that, have a wonderful week. Stay safe in the wasteland. I'll see you guys later. All right, everyone. See ya. Plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey Guardians, we are the Destiny Show Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things Destiny 2. We invite amazing guests from the Destiny community to share their stories and discuss the latest topics from the world of Destiny. Check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or live on Twitch every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will see you Starside.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.